Okay. Yesterday, Carlene's cousin and her family came over and spent the evening together, had supper, and they asked what I was preaching on today. And so I said, well, as far as I know, this is what I'm preaching on so far. And I shared a very quick summary. I discovered that actually I can probably preach a sermon in 2 minutes. And I know, Larry, hey, it's like, why do I take so long then? Because I just summarized what the Lord had laid on my heart, but then explained that sometimes as we're sharing or different stuff, the Lord highlights something and things change. Well, that happened this morning, but before we came to church, as I was just going over my notes, but I also feel led to share the summary of what I was going to preach on, which is odd because usually I would just leave that. So what I was going to preach on was from Romans, and it talks about how, in Romans 11, it talks about how the Lord binds people over to disobedience, and talking about Israel specifically, but he binds them over to disobedience so that he might have mercy on them all, and he binds all people over to disobedience so that he might have mercy on them. And then you know, Romans 7, you go back a little bit and Paul talks about how he was sold into slavery to sin. And the reason we're sold into slavery and into sin is so that he can have mercy on us, and so that we can know that what a horrible taskmaster sin is and the enemy is. And it's like, oh, you want him as a master? Okay, go for it, kind of thing. And then back to Romans 11, talking about the Jews specifically, but I think the principle generally for all of us, if they wouldn't persist in unbelief, then he would graft them back into the olive tree, because they are natural olive branches. And it's the same for the world too, for us Gentiles as well. If people just wouldn't persist in unbelief, the Lord would graft them in. And then my mind, even as I was then thinking on these things, this morning, my mind goes back to Romans 1 about how he hands people over to a depraved mind, and we see that happening in our world, like just insanity happening. But the whole purpose is so that he might have mercy on them all. And we've talked before in years past about the reality of this principle of God wants us to come to our senses. And so then, oh yeah, I remember that, Lord. And so I started writing down some things. You have, you know, 2 Timothy 2, verse 25 and 26, where he wants people to come to their senses. And then my mind went to the prodigal son, because I was like, I think there's something there too about that. And it's true. In prodigal son, he goes over to a distant land, he squanders all his wealth, he eventually is feeding pigs because he's poor, has nothing, there's a famine. And it talks about how he finally comes to his senses and says, servants in my father's house eat better than this, and he's going to go back to his father and repent. So as I'm meditating on all this, and I got to share too, the whole then end of Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know, it's beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? Right? From him, to him, through him are all things. Glory to God, you know. And just, wow, Lord, you're amazing. So the whole purpose of that sermon, that was the short summary, was don't get discouraged. Like, our world is going insane, but God has a plan. The reason God has handed over people to insanity is so that some might come to their senses and return. So don't be discouraged. And I'm speaking to myself too. Like, it's the enemy wants to come and discourage us. Don't be discouraged. God has a plan. Okay? So as I'm meditating on this and thinking about it, again, I was in part of, like, the prodigal son passage is in Luke 15. So I was staring at Luke 15 there for a little bit. Well, my eye happens to meander because on my page it happens to meander over to Luke 14. And so that's where we're going to go. Because as I read it, as my eye meandered, I just sense this gentle nudging of the Spirit. And then some of what we shared this morning for the birthdays really confirmed it. And so here we are in Luke 14 and verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, hate his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." The part that really struck me as I read that, and it's so interesting, and this is a little aside here, I really want to encourage you, notice when the Holy Spirit speaks. Because sometimes he speaks at such what we think are random times. It's like, "Lord, I'm about to go to church and I'm just brushing up on some of the notes I have and the passages, and my eye happens to go over to the other page, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, 'That's what I want you to speak on.' Well, why didn't you talk to me about that, or, you know, earlier in the week or whatever?" And no, I don't say that anymore because I totally am used to this now. But it's just interesting, and resist the temptation to say, "No, but I have a plan." No, God has a plan. And when you hear him speak, and sometimes it's between here and, you know, walking to the kitchen, or between here and, you know, walking down the hall of some. Randy often has said that he most often hears the Spirit speak of when he's at church in his office, and he goes from his office and he's walking towards the bathroom. And then the Holy Spirit speaks. And it's just, I don't know why. But anyways, my eye meandered to this, and I just heard the Holy Spirit, as far as I can tell. I always take that with a grain of salt because I'm not perfect. But as far as I could tell, I heard the Holy Spirit. And it really focused in on verse 28. "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him." Now, please understand, it's not about the fear of being ridiculed, but it's the encouragement. I want this to be an encouragement to finish what you've started. The Lord has laid a foundation in our lives, and he has begun building. And to have this resolve to build unto completion. And when will that completion be? When the Lord returns. And so just to keep building, and it reminds me of the prayers we were praying for you, Brian, just to keep going, to keep going, to keep going. And there's room for improvement. There's room for renovation. There's room for building more. of what the Lord wants, to not sit back, but to continue to build, to continue to go forward, to put on the tool belt and to build new walls or whatever. This week, the Backyard Brothers, a little plug here, Backyard Brothers came to our house, meaning my backyard sons, you know. They came to our house, and we've planned for a few years now of fixing up our entranceway, like our porch, stairs and porch that lead into the house, and the door that we use at the back there. Because the porch is original, I believe. It's still sturdy. Some bricks you can pull out and see into where the old it's not a cistern. The cistern is behind it. But anyways, but it's still sturdy. But it didn't look great. And more important than not looking great is the stairs that were original had began sinking. And so first of all, they built the stairs with 9-inch steps. So there were 4 stairs and 9-inch steps, but then the last step, because it was sinking, had become 11 inches, and the standard is about 7 inches, 7 1/4. And so my mom has always had trouble, but since she broke her hip, and now she's walking again, but that last step, I'm not sure she would even be able to do it. And Carlene's mom is 4 foot nothing, you know, and so that last step, we actually have to get the harness and the rappelling ropes, and she has to mountain climb that last step. So we've been planning for a few years, but just didn't know how to do it. And then Tyler actually came up with a solution like a few months ago. What if you did this? And it's like, oh, that's the solution. So anyways, they finally had the time, and we finally, after me thinking about it for 2 years, and should have asked Tyler 2 years ago what the solution was, but it's done.
Yay! Yay!
Is right. And it's so neat because it not only is practical now, where we have 7-inch or 7 1/4-inch steps, 5 instead of 4 now, and can easily get up the steps now. So not only is it practical, but it finishes off. If you've been to our house, we put a deck in 2020, and the fence in last year or the year before. 2021, put a fence in a little bit, and it just finishes everything off aesthetically as well. And I was just enjoying sitting on the deck yesterday, just looking at it all, and Carlene's gardens, the flowers, and everything. And there's still some to go. I'm gonna skirt the rest of this one part with wood as well to finish it off. And if we had the finance or whatever, there's other things that we could do to the house as well, you know? All that to say, it just reminds me of what I see the Lord saying here. Like, keep building. Amen. Keep building. Like, praise God for what has been built, but keep building. Because there's more. There's more that God wants to build into us. And don't settle. Now, for this worldly stuff, for houses and different stuff, no, we don't want to chase after things like the world chases after, you know, and everything. And we're very content with where we live and that. But you know what? If we could afford, say, for instance, new windows that wouldn't allow the winter weather in so easily, you know, we would do that. If we could take care of some of the insulation problems that the house obviously has, you know, we would probably do that. But don't chase out. It's not about worldly things. This is about the heavenly things. And it's like, Lord, yeah, like, I'm leaking a little bit of the heat that you want to keep in me. I'm leaking it too easily. Lord, would you fix me? Would you renovate me? I remember sharing here when we were in Thailand, and you've all heard, like most of you have heard our testimony about just the hard stuff that we went through, but it was so good, and just God exposing lies that we believed, and God exposing whether it's selfishness or different strongholds that we had, to heal our marriage. And at one point, God gave me this picture of a house being renovated, but like a wall, like an exterior wall being basically torn off and excavated the ground and down to the foundation. And if you've ever seen anyone do a renovation like that, man, it looks ugly for a while, right? But totally necessary. But he showed me what he was building. It's like, we need to get at this and we need to do it right. And we're going to dig down deep and we're going to fix the footings, going to fix the foundation. Then we're going to build up, and I'm going to build up an extra kind of room for you, you know, that you haven't had before, and da-da-da, and all this. And just the vision that God gave me, it really played out. But guess what? He's not done with me. He's not done with us. To keep building. Not to go nitpicking, but to keep building. To keep moving forward. Because God wants to just keep on pouring himself into us. And understand the cost. There's nothing, well, I was going to say there's nothing sadder. That's hyperbole, but It is sad when you see someone start off in their Christian walk building with gusto and excitement and, oh, yeah, I got all these plans. We're going to, oh, I got this idea for this huge, huge building and for God, and meaning their life, right? Like, I'm talking life right now, not building. Let's build a huge foundation because I've got plans for the Lord in my life and da-da-da. And then you come back later and the building has stopped. Those of you who have lived in the Niagara region for a long time, and I'm going back decades now, but there was this one house. If you go down the QEW towards Hamilton, see, you remember, right? There was this one house that was built up, and beautiful. I think it had an indoor pool, or it has an indoor pool. And it, beautiful, beautiful. And it got to a certain stage, and then for 20 years, I don't know, stopped. Just stopped. Do you remember that house? It's done now. But it was just, what happened? Well, ran out of money, I imagine. I never talked to the guy. I never knocked on his door and said, what gives? Like, you know, I didn't do that. And then, the foolishness of it. God has begun building in all of us. And the beautiful thing is he provides the finance for it as well. Amen. What we have to provide is the willingness. Yeah, Lord, do it. Go further. I want more. I want more. I want more. I stand before you an incomplete work. And I want to be further next year than I am right now. And just like our home, like sometimes, yeah, there's been times in our life when it's full-scale renovation or building an addition. You know, and again, if you've ever seen someone build an addition, and especially if they're going to have basement to that addition, yeah, you got to go down, and it's piles of dirt everywhere, and grass is ruined, and flower beds are dug up, and it just looks like a mess. But it's like, okay, so there are times like that. At other times, it is like what we just did, like what we just had the guys do at our place. You know, we just need to clean this up a little bit. And there's some practical side to it and some beauty side to it. And it all works together, but that just needs to be added or cleaned up. When we added the deck, man, it changed our house a bunch. And just our space outside and that. So too. So some things that God wants to do in our lives are big. Some are small, quote unquote. But never to stop building. God has so much for us. Now, how does he build? So for that, we go to Matthew 7, and I'll just refer to it, but it's from the Sermon on the Mount. It talks about the wise and foolish builders. And it talks about the building that happens is built on his word. His ways, his truth. Because his truth is the only truth. And so allowing him to build. So we get in the word and we say, yes, Lord, do this in me. Do it in me. I'm not there. Do it in me. Lord, I see that you want this to be a part of my building, meaning my life. And I don't have that. You want central air. I don't have central air in my life. Or you want this room. You want a prayer closet. I don't have a prayer closet. We need to build a prayer closet. Lord, you want me to open up my home and host and be a welcoming home. We don't have that. And please understand, I'm talking about the heart now, not your house, because your house doesn't have to be perfect in order to have people in it. It doesn't matter the size of your dining room or even if you have a dining room. It's the willingness and the wanting to be hospitable, the wanting to reach out. And so let's build that. Yes, build it in me, Lord God. And for anyone who has gone through building and especially renovation, you know, like, talk to our guys about renovation. And we learned so much through their renovation when they bought their house and started renovating. It's not always pretty, and it's definitely not easy, but so worth it. So I'm not talking about ever being complete. Like, we will be complete in what's to come. But this place of, yes, and I want to build more. Lord, build more. Amen. Build more. God's not done with us. I know that this has been a theme throughout the years. And I have shared a number of times where God has already taken us further than ever I thought I would ever be. Like, here we are, Emmanuel Grace, for instance. Here we are, 2023, began as a Bible study in 2011, started as a church in 2014. So we're in our 10th year, coming up to our 10-year anniversary this coming April. Man, never thought. And I look at what God has done in us, around us, and through us. I hear the account after account after account in the sharing about how God is using us. And it's so neat hearing people share about evangelism. And it's like, yes. No knocking programs, okay? I'm not knocking other churches for doing programs. Please don't hear me saying that. But our program is you. Like, our evangelism program is you, where you live and where you work and in the community that you're in. That's our program. Where even when pizza night is going crazy, you get to share the gospel. You have time to share the gospel with the guy standing next to you. Even as you're flipping two pizzas at a time. No, okay, now we're getting carried away. Right? You are the evangelism program. And I stand in awe of what God has done. And it's like, just after one renovation or one thing, God's like, oh, that was good. That's good. I like it. Now, you know what I have planned for over here? Ooh, let me tell you about the gardens I want to plant over here. Or let me tell you about this addition that I want to do over here. Or how we can paint this room a little bit different. Or how we need to straighten out this wall. Or how we need to redo this plumbing. Or this electrical work. Or this or whatever. And he's just excited. He's excited about what has been done. He's excited about what is going to be done. Don't stop. If you want to be his disciple, don't stop. There is cost, There is cost, and we need to, when we first came to it, when we first came to the Lord, and this is where I would encourage, as you're sharing the gospel, share the cost. Please, let that be a part of your gospel message. So rather than, were you talking to me about Jesse or someone else, or Carlene was, where instead of like the old days, just come on forward and give your life to Jesus and say this prayer, amen, 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 okay, see you later. No, no. Before you come to the Lord, I'm ready to pray. No. Just hold off for a second. Before you come to the Lord, I need to tell you about the cost. It costs nothing, but it's going to cost you everything. The Lord is going to come in and take over. And he will see things. When he sees things, he's going to put his finger on it, and he is going to demand change. But demand in the most loving, gentle as he can be, gentle as we, as harsh as we need him to be, and he wants to be as gentle as possible. He's going to put his finger on stuff. And before you get into this, you got to know, if you want to be his disciple, you need to be willing to hate father and mother, hate your wife, hate your children, hate your neighbor even. I thought I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Yes, yes, we can get into how that works together, but understand, you give up everything for him. There's a great cost. Please let that be a part of the good news that we share. And let your lives tell the story of it's worth it. Because it is. Every change that God has brought into my life has been worth it. Some of it has been incredibly hard to walk through in the moment. And some of you know that better than I know that. But everything has been worth it. Everything. And so I say, build away, Lord. Build away. What do you want to do next? And sometimes he'll say, let's just take a little bit of time to enjoy the deck we just built. Let's just sit out here and enjoy the weather a little bit. And praise God for those seasons. Absolutely. But when he wants to build, let's build. Build. Yeah, I just want to encourage you with that. And that's why when we were praying, both for Brian and Lindsay, this, keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Keep building. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The whole dialogue in the word where it says to hate your wife, yeah, father, mother, neighbors, whatever. Like, that's hard to get our head around. Like, I have perfect peace about that because I really get it.
Yeah.
But if you could maybe just focus and elaborate on that.
Yep, for sure. So, and it's a great question because, yes. So obviously, for instance, it, right there in the passage, it says I'm supposed to hate my wife. Okay? Right there. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and his children, and so on and so forth. And yet, in Ephesians, it says that I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Okay, so how do we put those two together? Here's how we put that together. My love for God comes first. there is a hierarchy in our love, okay? God first, spouse second, children third, okay? And then I believe extended family or like church family too, like where, yeah, but definitely the top three. And that's the way it is. So don't get offended. I love Carlene. Larry, I love Carlene more than I love you. Yes, it's true, you know? And we've always said to our kids, yeah, like we've made that clear. Like we wouldn't rub it in their faces or anything, but it just, that's truth. However, like, so in that love, in that hierarchy of love, when I choose my wife over my kids, they might think Dad doesn't love me. Or when I choose my kids over my friends, oh, Kevin doesn't love us, you know. If they're not mature in the Lord, they might think that. Our love for God will seem like hatred towards others if they don't understand the love, like the way God has set up things. And they will take offense because when we sometimes have to say no to someone we love, they'll take that as hatred. That's exactly what we see happening in the world right now. You disagree with me? That's hate speech. It's not hate speech. I just love God and I love his ways and I know his ways are right and I'm actually loving you right now, but they take it as hatred. So the way I've interpreted this is not that we actively hate, because hate, the definition of hate is to wish ill on someone. That's not what God is talking about here. What I see as I take all of Scripture into counsel in that is if Carlene was not following the Lord, my obedience and love to the Lord might seem like hatred towards her. Oh, you just don't love me. I do love you. But this is how God has taught me and showed me how to live. So too with the world, we're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to love our neighbors. And yet, all of us actually are being accused in general of hatred. And it's like, no, I love God. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you, like with what's going on with the world about gender ideology. I love the transgender, the man who thinks he's a woman. I love him enough to tell him, no, you're a man. I love you enough to not go along with your delusion and the lies that have been poured into you. I love you enough to tell you that, but now you think I hate you. And call it hate speech. It's like, no, I actually love you. So it will be taken as hatred towards those who don't understand the Lord. Does that make sense then? Does that explain it well enough?
So the higher star keeps agape.
Yes.
And then there's
eros
star.
Yep.
Romantic love.
Yep.
So it's just a priority of order.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any other questions or comments?
First off, I like this hell and joy. We just get to sit here and talk instead of having to get up.
It's not right. It's not right.
One of the other tangents, or a direction, like in all of this, is being surrendered to God in what he wants to build, like in sort of priorities. I see that a lot. I've seen that a bunch, and it made me think about it a bunch when I'm delivering to a place, and you know somebody spent $400 on mulch, and you get to their place, and you're going, really? This is what you want to spend your money on? Like, your door is hanging by a hinge. There's a broken window in the front window, and you want to beautify something. To me, it's not a priority. The priority would be. You know, and it especially becomes obvious. Then you go back 6 months later, and half the mulch has moved. The other half is still just sitting there.
Yeah.
Now the house looks messier than it ever did.
Yeah.
And so to be surrendered in sort of the priorities that God wants to place, like it's like the Lord says, oh, I want to teach you in this, or I want to grow you in this. And no, I want to focus on this.
Yeah.
And so to be surrendered to that
100%
is sometimes difficult to hear, but it's what God, I mean, his ways are perfect. So
it's good. He's the contractor. He's the one who decides the schedule. Now, don't be surprised if, as he's working on the foundation, he brings flowers to bring some beauty, even in the midst of the chaos, if you will. Like, he will do that. But you're right. It's like he has a priority. He has an agenda. Let him set it. It's good. Anyone else? Any other comments or questions? Mm-hmm.
Now, we all have different callings. Not all of us are up there or singing in the choir. But, like, I have a calling in the bread ministry, and it's part of my servant's heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Like, when I lie my head down at night, the Prince of Peace is there.
Yeah. Yes.
It's bliss.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So, Lord, continue to build in us and continue to have your way. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the cost, just so that we're not shocked. We're not shocked when the world hates us. We're not shocked when we lose friendships or even family, so that we're not shocked when things don't work out exactly like we would like them, or even like you would like them, because I know that you don't want families to be broken up, but families will be broken up at times. And so I pray that you'd open our eyes to the cost, that we would be mature and adult about it. But then I pray that you'd pour in a resolve into our hearts to go for it. I see the picture that was given for Brian too. I just got thrown out of a window. I'm gonna pull up my pants and get back in there. And it's like, we're gonna go for this. So Lord, I pray for that kind of resolve in all of us, not just Brian. I pray that we would be sprinkled with that blessing as well, even as Brian was blessed with that this morning. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
I will follow.
Trust in you.
This is Amazing Grace.
Take my breath. the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Hallelujah, your love is amazing. Thank you. Scandal of grace.
Jesus, there's no one beside.
majesty.
Thank you.